ولا أرض أرضى. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء. ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من أخلص لله أربعين صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
We were discussing how the concept of Iman has been divided on various parts of the human body, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us a comprehensive moral value system to make sure that we can protect the iman and we can perform those values, maintain those values and protect the iman, which is divided on those various parts. And we did talk about some of those great values, starting from Iyadatul Marza, paying visit to the sick, Silatul Rahim, keeping in touch with our relatives, and Kifalatul Aitam, sponsoring the orphans in Islam and its importance, and also Al-Afw Was-Safh, that means forgiveness, forgiving people after they ask and before they ask. And we talked about Ikramul Jar, respecting the neighbor, and Ikramu Karimil Qawm, respecting the respectable of every nation. And we discussed the fact of the Ta'ziyatul Musab, how it is important in Islam that we also give condolences and talqeen of sabr to the person who is affected, insaf, dealing with fairness with the people, and rahim ala nas, having merciful behavior towards the people. And now the few more which are remaining, first of all is takabbur ma'al mutakabbir. This is another very important value of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam that they practice throughout their life. We know it very obviously that takabbur is something which is extremely condemned in Islam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates the mutakabbirin, dislikes the mutakabbirin. And obviously we have hadith in from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, where he informs us that inna fi jahannam lawadiyan yuqalu lahu saqar, there is a wadi and a valley inside the hellfire. لِلْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ يُقَالُ لَهُ سَقَر, there is a wadi and valley inside the hell which is for mutakabbirin, and it's called Saqar, فَشَكَ إِلَى اللَّهِ شِدَّةَ حَرِّهِ. It complained towards Allah the strong heat that it has, and وَسَأَلَهُ أَن يَأَذَنَ لَهُ أَن يَتَنَفَّسَ, and it asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give permission to him so it can breathe. So here we find the hadith says فَتَنَفَّسَ فَأُحْرِقَ جَهَنَّمَ. So basically this valley which is called Saqar, which is specific for mutakabbireen, Allah allowed the valley to breathe, and when that valley of the hellfire breathed, the entire hellfire was lit up with the fire because of this valley breathing. This is from Iqab al-A'mal of Shaykh al-Saduq rahmatullah alayh. So we find that we can understand how much takabbur is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our responsibility in the Islamic value system, that when we encounter in the society people who are arrogant and mutakabbir, we also do takabbur towards them. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, تَوَاضَعُوا مَعَ الْمُتَوَاضِعِينَ. Do modest behavior, tawadhu, and humble behavior towards those who are mutawadhi and humble, down to earth. فَإِنَّ التَّوَاضُعَ مَعَ الْمُتَوَاضِعِينَ صَدَقَةٌ. Because tawadhu and modesty with the mutawadhi and modest people is sadaqah. This is a charity. This is also one of the charities in Islam. When we see the mutawadhi and humble people, we also deal with them with tawadhu. وَتَكَبَّرُوا مَعَ الْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ. And Prophet has said that when you basically do takabbur with the mutakabbirin, this is what is called ibadat in Islam. At-takabburu ma'al mutakabbire ibadatun. That's the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Idha ra'aytum al-mutawadhi'ina min ummati fatawadhu lahum. When you find the mutawadhi' people of my nation, do tawadhu towards them. Wa idha ra'aytum al-mutakabbirina fatakabbaru alayhim. And if you find mutakabbir people, do takabbur upon them. فَإِنَّ ذَلَكَ لَهُمْ مَذَلَّةٌ وَصِغَارٌ. Because that is, humiliating them and considering them low, belittling them, considering them as less and low. This is what we are supposed to do. So, takabbur itself has its own athar, which are, mentioned. And I have written down, seven of the athar of takabbur that we learn from the Islamic value system. First, it causes the talaf, wastage, and getting lost and wasted. بكثرت التكبر يكون التلف. So talaf and wastage of things happen because of the arrogance. Second of all, takabbur causes us to lose the friends, lose the friendships. And not just that, but it causes enmity among the friends. So a mutakabbir person has no friends, basically. Whether you apply for persons or you apply for countries, it's equally applicable. When you find there's arrogance, then you lose the friends. All the friendships that you find available are just a matter of common interests, as long as the interests are requiring. This is not friendship. So Amir Humi alayhi salam says, لَيْسَ لِلْمُتَكَبِّرِ صَدِيقٌ. Mutakabbir does not have a friend. Also, takabbur causes بُعْد مِنَ اللَّهِ, getting far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this hadith from Imam Salih alayhi salam tells us, أَبْعَدُ النَّاسِ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْمُتَكَبِّرُونَ. The farthest among the people from Allah are the arrogance. So lots of categories of humans are far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Sharibul Khamr is also far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, isn't it right? Zani is also far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so many other sins makes a person becoming far away from Allah. But there is no one farther away from Allah than the arrogant. So this makes us understand the kind of value we are discussing of doing takabbur towards the mutakabbirin and how big an ibadat it would be. Fourth asar and impact of takabbur is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah brings the person down. So wad Allah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that مَنْ يَسْتَكْبِرْ يَضَعُهُ اللَّهُ. Whoever does takabbur, Allah brings him down. So we have angels on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what these angels do is that when they find anybody on the planet earth doing tawadhu, they are assigned on behalf of Allah to raise this person on Allah's behalf. And as soon as they find somebody doing takabbur, they are assigned to bring this guy down. So no matter how much a person pretends to become high and up and stronger, he will be brought down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fifth of the impact of takabbur is zul and insult. At man takabbara al-nasa zulla. Whoever does takabbur on the people, he becomes zaleel and insulted. And also we find that at-takabbur fil wilayat is zullun fil azl. If a person has walayat, means government, he has control, he has authority, you enjoy some position, and when you are enjoying a position, you are exercising arrogance towards your subordinates. When you are removed from your position, your takabbur is nothing but insult and humiliation after you lose the position. Whereas we find for the muttaqi people, you know, it really doesn't matter. They don't stand in need of the positions. The positions stand in need of them. So positions require those people, they become a zenith and a matter of adornment for the mansab itself. And the mansab has no impact on them. They get the mansab or they don't get the mansab, it's all the same. So mansab and position in Islam are basically given to those people who are not impacted by the mansab itself. Instead, they influence the mansab. Isn't it right? Some people came to the Prophet and said, "Ala tasta'miluna ya Rasulullah, are you not going to give us some mansab, some position?" So Prophet installed his first Islamic government in Medina. Isn't it right? So Medina was the capital. So in that government, some people came, "Are you not going to give some position to us?" And Prophet replied, according to that narration, "We don't give positions to people who ask for it." That means we give positions only to those who deserve it. So, and those who deserve, Prophet is going to give them anyway, whether they ask or they don't ask. Anyone who asks for a position, we don't give it to them. So, this is from the narration of our Sunni brothers. From the Shia side, we have also narrations which are quite much, eye-opening. Abu Zar, rahmatullah alayhi, he went to the Prophet and he said the same thing, "Ala tasta'miluni ya Rasulullah, are you not going to give a position to me?" So Prophet did not give any position to Abu Zar. In the entire duration of the government of the Prophet, Abu Zar did not enjoy any mansab. So Prophet said to him that, "Inni uhibbu laka ma uhibbu li nafsi." I love for you what I love for myself. And then Prophet said that, "Innaka la'if." You are a weak person. "Wa innaha amana." And whereas the mansab in Islam, mansab is amanat. وَإِنَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ خِزْيٌ وَنَدَامًا. And this is insult and repentance on the Day of Judgment. In other words, which I'm saying the Madmun Riwaya. So basically, Rasulullah ﷺ did not give any mansab to Abu Dharr. in his life. So manasib are entirely depending on the merit in Islam, and obviously in addition to taqwa, you need to have the shuja'at, the courage, the tadabbur, mudiriyat, and so many other things which are there. So didn't we have those ulama in the Hawza of Qum who were looking istikhara, khira bil Qur'an, istikhara, when Shah La'natullah alayhi has captured Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah alayhi, these ulama in Qum, some of the ulama in Qum, they were looking istikhara. Shall we protest on the zulm or we should not protest over the zulm? So they are the same ayat of Quran. The ayat, we don't have a new Quran. We don't have a new Sharia. We don't have a new values from Ahlul Bayt. The same Quran and same ayat and same ahadith are recited by everybody in every hawza, in every madrasa. But not everybody understands fahmul Islam. Not everybody has the correct fahm of Islam. Some people have tilted and zayf and tilted understandings of Islamic values and the seerat of Ahlul Bayt. That's why you find the situation in the Islamic Ummah right now is exactly because some people have tilted understandings which is not mutabiq with the seerat of Ahlul Bayt. And that ilm becomes hijab, al-akbar, how Imam Khomeini used to say. Ilm is the al-hijab al-akbar. The biggest hijab that blocks us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ilm. This kind of ilm becomes hijab, which is tilted understanding without the amal and practice. So takabbur causes zul and insult at the time the position is taken away. So if those who deserve it, they are aziz and mansab requires them, they don't require the mansab, so getting the mansab has no impact upon them. You can look at their assets and their bank accounts, you know, and their lifestyle after getting the mansab, after getting away from the mansab, and before getting the mansab. It's all the same. There is no difference in their lifestyle. So these are the kind of people who are, you know, precious. So yatawaqqahum an-nas, impact number, asar number 6 of takabbur is that on the day of judgment, all the billions and billions of humans, awwaleen and akhireen, will be crossing over the mutakabbireen. So the mutakabbireen will be laid down and everybody will cross by crushing them under their feet, because the hadith of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, إِنَّ الْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ يُجْعَلُونَ فِي سُوَرِ الزَّرْءِ يَتَوَطَّاهُمُ النَّاسُ حَتَّى يَفْرَغَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْحِسَابِ. So mutakabbir people will be, you will be put in the form of the particles. People will crush over them. So till Allah is done with the accountability. That means when Allah is done with the accountability of the rest, then He's going to take care of them. And seventh one is what I mentioned is the Wadi of Saqar. That's for mutakabbirin. So our value system says that we have to do takabbur in front of the mutakabbirin. If we are humble in front of the mutakabbirin and we are smiling and we meet with a smiling face, this is called nifaq and zul wajhain, which is man kana zal wajhain, whosoever, or zal lisanain, anybody, people who are zul wajhain and zul lisanain, you know, they have two faces. If you meet with the salihin and you are smiling, and you meet with the talihin and you are having the same respectful behavior and polite behavior towards them, so without showing any kind of disagreement towards them. Didn't Amir Muri alayhi salam say that أَدْنَا الْإِنْكَارِ أَنْ تَلْقَى أَهْلَ الْمَعَاصِي بِبُجُوهِمْ مُكْفَهِرَّ. That means the minimum level of inkar, means نَهِنَ الْمُنْكَرِ, forbidding the bad, is that you meet with the sinners, أَهْلَ الْمَعَاصِي, with faces that show that you disagree with what they are doing. In other words, بُجُوهِمْ مُكْفَهِرَّ. So we have to express to the mutakabbirin that we are
arrogant in front of them. We are following the sunnah of Rasulullah and hukm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will get the ibadat and they're doing the haram. So, hasad. The next value system, which we are just crossing very quickly to try to cover some of the most important things. Hasad, there are two things in our Islamic value system. One is called hasad, which is envy, and the other one is called ghibta. Difference in Islamic morality is that hasad means if you find a ni'mat on someone, when you see the ni'mat with somebody, you wish in your heart. This is among the al-ma'asi al-qalbiyya, first of all. You know, sins are classified into several types. Some of the sins are related to our qalb. Even if you are practically with your hand, with your feet, doing nothing, but you have this niyat in your qalb, that's enough. It's a sin. So hasad is from the sins of the heart. So, yeah, so hasad means if you see the ni'mat on somebody, on some mu'min, you wish in your qalb that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes that ni'mat from him. Whereas ghibta is means that if you see the ni'mat on somebody, you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he gives you the same ni'mat the way he gave him, he should give it to you as well. So ghibta is something appreciated in Islam, and hasad is something which is obviously a bigger sin in Islam. Innal hasad ya'kulul iman kama ta'kulun narul hatab. Hasad eats up the faith, then the entire faith will be gone with this evil of the soul, which is called hasad. Hasad eats up the faith the way the fire eats up the firewood. And sihhatul jasad min qillatil hasad, Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam says. So the health of the body is from the decrease, from less hasad. So the more hasad we have, the more we are going to, a hasood person who has hasad harms his own body, in addition to the soul obviously, harms his own body more than what he can harm others. You cannot harm nobody by having a niyat in your qalb that Allah takes the ni'mat from him. Allah is not going to listen to you. So you cannot harm nobody, you're just harming your own soul and your own body. Allah has his own principles, how he is providing the ni'mat or nikmat, blessings and wrath to the people according to his sunan al-ilahiyya, his divine principles and formulas. He's not going to alter that because of somebody having hasad towards a mu'min. Al-makr means deceiving the people. This is also another very important thing to remember as we are talking about Islamic value system. Laysa minna man makara musliman. We find that on occasions you ask a mu'min brother to hire in your job, you have a business, you hire a mu'min brother, you hire your fellow mu'min brother in your business, and this mu'min person deceives you more than the kuffar. This mu'min person does to you what even the non-Muslim did not do. Why is this happening? Because the basics of values are not found in the soul. We are lacking tarbiyat. We are just born to Muslim parents, but we did not learn from Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that laysa minna. Laysa minna man makara musliman. That means someone who deceives a Muslim is not one of us. That means he is not a Muslim, in other words. He is not a Muslim. Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. A Muslim is a person that the rest of the Muslims are secure from his lisan, his tongue, and yad, his hand. If people are receiving harm from your hand and your tongue, you are not a Muslim, in other words. And lawla anni sami'tu, Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam says, that لولا أني سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله يقول إن المكر والخديعة والخيانة في النار. Hadn't, if I had not heard from the Prophet saying that deceiving and خيانة, deception is in the hell, لكنت من أمكر العرب. I would have been the most, person having the highest makr among the Arabs. So showing just not the real smartness that we try to deceive somebody, we actually deceive our own selves. Al-Makuru, the hadith from Amir Mumin alayhi salam also says, Al-Makuru shaytanun fi surat insan. Person who is doing makr and deception is a shaitan in the face of a human. So he is basically part of the abna'u shayateen. How can we become a children among the children of shaitan? By following him. Any human or jinn who follows the seerat of shaitan is part of the abna'u shayateen. So anybody who deceives the person, he must understand he is now a child of shaitan. He is a Satan in the form of human. You know, Al-Makuru Shaitanun fi Surat Insan. Al-Khiyana. Min Khiyanat. Khiyanat is, and the opposite is Amana. That means we take care of the Amanat. Inna Allaha ya'murukum an ta'uddul amanati ila ahliha. So Amanat need to be returned back to those who deserve it. It's our obligation. We have six things which are considered to be, and I did talk about that once, I remember, six things which are considered to be amanat in Islam, and our scholars have mentioned in the tafsir. So we need to take care of all those six things. إِذَا ظَهَرَتِ الْخِيَانَاتِ ارْتَفَعَتِ الْبَرَكَاتِ. When khiyanats are appearing, people are doing khiyanat, betraying and breaching those entrusted trusts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then barakat will be gone. So we find that also in other hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he says, من مات من خان أمانة في الدنيا ولم يردها إلى أهلها ثم أدركه الموت مات على غير ملتي. Whoever did khiyanat and did not return it back. You take a book from somebody and you don't return him back, for example. You borrow money from somebody and he's asking and asking and asking and asking and you don't return him back. Whatever thing you do khiyanat, this person, and he did not return back, and then he dies, he did not die on my millat. وَيَلْقَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ غَضْبَانِ. And he will meet Allah when Allah will be angry upon him. So, al-ghish, likewise, deception and ghish. مَنْ غَشَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي مَشْوَرَةٍ فَقَدْ بَرِئْتُ مِنْهُ. Anybody who deceives Muslims in the advice, some Muslim person comes and seeks advice from you. You know, I want to marry my daughter to this person. Somebody seeking mashwara and advice. Sharia says it's even allowed to do ghibat. In the matter, there are 12 mustasna for ghibat. And one of those 12 is if somebody is seeking advice for marriage of his son or daughter. You are allowed in Islam to tell what you know, which is related about the life of the person. So there is no deception. So we find man ghash al muslimin, whoever deceives the Muslims in an advice, any advice, Amir Mumin alayhi salam says, faqad bara'tu minhu, I am bari from him, I have nothing to do with him, I disassociate myself from him. So likewise, ghadab, anger, that's another tool of shaitan. So, ghadab and shahwat, you know, these are the two tools, two fundamental causes for all the sins. Our ulama of akhlaq say all the sins are committed because of these two reasons. Alladhina yunfiquna fi sarra'i wa tarra'i wal qadhin al ghayza wal afina anil nas wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. Surat Ali Imran, verse 229. So we find Amir Mumin alayhi salam says that احذر الغضب فإنه نار محرقة. Keep away from anger. Well, anger itself happens when we may become upset sometimes. What we are supposed to do is that when we become angry, we don't say anything based on the anger. We stay sakit. And we don't do practically anything based on the anger. احذروا الغضب, keep away from the anger, because فإنه نار محرقة, because it is a fire which is burning, it is going to burn you. So our souls get burnt with that. So we find إياك والغضب فأوله جنون وآخره ندم. Keep away from anger, because the beginning of that is madness. And the end of it is repentance. So if a person doesn't repent, فَجُنُونُهُ مُسْتَحْكَمُ, then his madness is confirmed and very strong madness. Because he was angry, and even at the end he still did not repent that he did wrong. So now it is proven that this guy is a confirmed, strong, mad person and majnoon person. So Prophet says, إِذَا غَضِبْتَ فَاسْكُتْ. Solution number one. When you become angry, stay silent. Like I said earlier, غَضَب happens sometimes, but سُكُوت is in our control. We should not say anything which is un-Islamic, and should not do anything which is un-Islamic. Another hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا غَضَبَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَتْوَضَّعْ بِالْمَاءِ الْبَارِدِ فَإِنَّ الْغَضَبَ مِنَ النَّارِ. When one of you becomes angry, he should do wudu with cold water, because ghadab is from fire. So obviously it will help if you stand up and go and do wudu with cold water. Those people who have anger problem, they should remember that whenever they become angry and they are unable to control, you know, we can always walk away and we do wudu with cold water. It will certainly calm down. That's the hadith of Rasulullah. It will help. So, I mean, this hadith which I recited is the hadith of Rasulullah. Certainly calm down is what my statement is. Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam says, man kaffa ghadabahu anin nas kaffallahu anhu ghadabahu yawm al-qiyamah. So whoever controls his anger from the people, Allah will control his anger from him on the Day of Judgment. So basically, our behavior is what we get from Allah. Whatever we do towards others, our mu'mineen, that's what we get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iza'ul mu'min. That's another important aspect which damages all the good deeds that we may have done. If we don't take care of this great value of Islam, which is about the respect of a mu'min. And the contrary to that is iza, means torturing, teasing, harming a mu'min. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Wasail al-Shia, man nazara ila mu'minin liyukhifahu biha. Whoever looks towards a mu'min so that he can scare him with that. Just staring at somebody with your looks. You're trying, with your looks you want to scare him. This is one qism of iza of a mu'min, is that by your eyes you're trying to scare him. So man nazara ila mu'minin de yukhifahu biha akhafa Allahu azza wa jal yawma la dhilla illa dhilluhu. Allah is going to make him afraid on the day where there is no shadow except his shadow. On the Day of Judgment, it's a flat surface, isn't it right? Everybody resurrected. No valley, no mountain, no hill, no alleys, nothing. Flat surface. And no shadow. It's a day of judgment. It's a daytime. It's not a nighttime. It's a daytime. No shadow available, no food, no water to drink, no shoes to wear. Everybody will be, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, يُحْشَرُ النَّاسُ حُفَاتًا عُرَاتًا. People will be resurrected naked and barefooted. All the humans will be resurrected naked and barefooted except the muttaqeen. So in that day, that kind of day we are talking about, where nobody is under a shadow, it really is a big deal, where the hadith says that Allah will provide that kind of person, you know, Allah will not provide him the shadow on the day Allah will make him afraid on the day where there is no shadow except his shadow. Another hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, which signifies, you know, you rent your house to some mu'min brother in the community, isn't it right? You hire some person, you work with somebody, you any kind of relationship, and that's where you find some people are doing eza. Sometimes people are harming each other, torturing, teasing each other. So here you see, look at this hadith where Prophet says, just Jami al-Akhbar, man aza mu'minan faqad azani, whoever tortures, teases a mu'min, he has teased me. Iza, he did aziyat, iza towards me. And woman adhan faqad adha Allah, and whoever teases me has teased Allah. Woman adha Allah fahuwa mal'un fi at-Tawrat wal-Injil wal-Zabur wal-Furqan. Whoever teases Allah, he is mal'un and cursed in Torah and Injil and Zabur and Furqan. That means all the four books. So he is a confirmed mal'un and cursed person. So one torturing of a mu'min entitles a person to become mal'un in the eyes of Torah and Injil and Zabur and Furqan. Now you can imagine how important this value is to keep the respect of a mu'min. And also last hadith, and I'll move to the next, from the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Where he says, man ahzana mu'minan thumma a'tahu dunya. Whoever makes a mu'min sorrowful, and then he gives the whole dunya to him. Not $1 million, not $1 billion, the whole dunya. Man ahzana mu'minan, whoever makes a mu'min sorrowful and then gives him the whole dunya, lam yakun dhalika kaffaratahu walam yujar alay. This is not going to be the kaffara and penalty for that. That means him giving the whole dunya to that mu'min is not going to be the penalty and kaffara, and he will not be given reward by Allah for giving the whole dunya to him. So you have to adjust the behavior according to Allah's tarjeeh and priority, so we don't tease the mu'min. Obviously the solution is that apology. We apologize, that's not part of the hadith I am explaining to you. We need to apologize and win the heart of the mu'min. The next point to remember as we are talking the value system of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, al-mashyu ma'a zalim, walking with any zalim. This is another important aspect of Islamic value system. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, man masha ma'a zalimin liyu'inahu. Whoever walks, Prophet did not say whoever supports a zalim. That's beyond Islamic value system. That's totally out of it. It is unimaginable in Islam for a mu'min to do that. So whoever walks with a zalim person, man masha ma'a zalimin liyu'inahu, so that he can help him. Later on you may help him, right now you're not helping him. You're just walking with him. وَهُوَ يَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ ظَالِمْ, and he knows that this guy is a zalim, فَقَدْ خَرَجَ مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ, he is no longer a Muslim. And you sit up and start walking and you are now a kafir. Can you imagine? Just walking, you did not start helping yet. And the second hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَعْجَلُ الْخَيْرِ ثَوَابًا صِلَةُ الرَّحِيمِ, the fastest reward. That means the fastest reward we gain in this world for doing any hasana, any good deed among all the hasanat and good deeds, is keeping in touch with our relatives. You give a call to your relative, you send email, you text, you go and pay visit physically, any kind of staying in touch with the relatives, you get the fastest reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. أَعْجَلُ الْخَيْرِ ثَوَابًا صِلَةُ الرَّحِيمِ وَأَسْرَعُ أَسْرَعُ الشَّرْ عِقَابًا الْبَغِي, fastest evil in terms of the punishment arriving from God upon you is ظلم. And بِئْسَ الزَّادِ إِلَى الْمَعَادِ الْعُدْوَانُ عَلَى الْعِبَادِ. Ramayana says in such beautiful statement, although all of his statements are equally beautiful, that the worst thing to carry with you in your travel towards the Day of Judgment is any vilm on the people. You know, we believe that mirsad, inna rabbaka labil mirsad, Quran says, and in the tafsir they have mentioned that mirsad is qantaratun ala sirat. You know, qantaratun, this is a qantara, it's a bridge, and la yajuzuha ahadun bimazlamatin. No one can cross the bridge if he has any zulm that he did over anybody. You cannot cross that bridge. So basically, the bridge of mirsad is uncrossable with any zulm, unless the compensation take place. How the compensations would take place? The hellfire. Hellfire is there, which has iman billah, it has faith in God, it has aql, intellect, Islamic definition of intellect, which empowers us to obey none but Allah, and it has the power to distinguish between haq and batil. So hellfire can know you are a mu'min, and you are Ahlul Haqq, follower of Haqq, or you are a kafir or munafiq, and you are follower of batil. So hellfire flames will come up and take the piece of flesh from that person, or his bone, or part of his body, as much as the kafara and penalty was needed for the zulm. Because you cannot do any action now to compensate, or pay money now to that person to compensate, that Muslim person upon whom you did a zulm. You have no money on the Day of Judgment, nobody has nothing in his hands. Isn't that right? Yawm al-Akhirah is not darul amal, it's not a home of actions. You know, al-yawm amarun wala hisab, like Amir alayhi salam says in Nahj al-Balagha, today is actions, no accountability. And tomorrow is hisabun, and tomorrow is accountability and no actions. So akhirat is not darul amal. So we, darul amal is this dunya. Shurbul khamr. Another important thing where we are discussing the Islamic value system. Drinking khamr. So shurbul khamr ka abide wasan. Anybody who drinks alcohol is like, sharbul khamr is like the worshipper of an idol. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, sharib al-khamr mal'oon, the person who drinks khamr is mal'oon. Sharib al-khamr ka abadatil awthan, sharib al-khamr is like the one who worships idols. Yuhsharu yawm al-qiyamati ma'a fir'auna wa haman, he will be resurrected in the Day of Judgment along with Fir'aun and Haman. So, and another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says that you find some of the Muslims are ready to drink alcohol, they won't eat khinzir, but they're ready to drink alcohol, right? With ta'wilat and tawjihat. So, sallimu ala al-yahud wa al-nasara wa la tusallimu ala sharib al-khamar. Say salam to the yahud and nasara, but don't say salam to the one who drinks alcohol. وَإِن سَلَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ فَلَا تَرُدُّ جَوَابَهُ. Rasulullah says, if he says salam to you, don't reply back to his salam. So there is a very important value system that we need to remember about shurbul khamr. So even sowing a seed of grapes or any other thing with the niyat of tomorrow this will convert into a plant, and you know, with have fruits, and then after 1 year I will make alcohol. Sowing the seed with that niyat is also a bigger sin. So we find in the, remember in the story where the Prophet's head was in the hand in lap of Hazrat Khadija, isn't it right? In that story also we learn when Prophet was relaxing, his head was in the lap of Hazrat Khadija salamullah alayha, and she saw the jamal and beauty of the Prophet, which was the, he was the most handsome and beautiful person, and no comparison with Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, ana amlah huwa asbah wa ana amlah, as in a right, Prophet said, so he has more sabahat and I have more malahat. And also in addition to that, the jamal and beauty of Rasulullah has been kept under 70 curtains by Allah. So it is not fair to do comparison with Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam at all. 70 curtains. And when he was taken on Mi'raj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one moon spread on the Mi'raj where angels got shocked. They are made of nur themselves, but they never saw that kind of intensity of nur. So they were shocked. And they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma hadha nur? What is this nur? And Allah told them, I have removed one hijab, one curtain from the face of my Habib, my beloved. So there's... So 70 curtains are there on the face of the Prophet. One was removed on that occasion of Mi'raj. On the Day of Judgment, all the curtains will be removed from the Jamal of the Holy Prophet. In this dunya, the curtains were not removed from the face of the Prophet. So the people did not witness his actual Jamal, which they will be able to witness on the Day of Judgment only those who deserve it. And that's what we are talking about in the hadith which is following. So those who will deserve will see the Jamal. And the Jamal Allah created, we learn in the light of the narration, all the Jamal and beauty that Allah created. In Allah Jameelun Yuhibbul Jamal, Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty, isn't it right? So we find all Jamal He created is divided into 10 parts, and all the beauty that you see in the whole world, in the whole universe, is because of one juz, one part among the 10 parts. And 9 parts of Jamal have been muhtas, specifically and exclusively given to the Rasul and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam only. So Hazrat Khadija, we are talking about Shurb al-Khamr, isn't it right? So Hazrat Khadija salamullah alayha had the head of the Prophet in her lap, and she was looking at the Jamal of the Prophet, and she said, Al-Wail liman la yaraka yawm al-qiyamah. That means death to woe to the person who cannot see you on the Day of Judgment, who does not see you on the Day of Judgment. And she said that, and she started to cry. And her tears fell on the face of the Prophet. Prophet opened up his eyes and he asked her, and she told her the whole thing, that that's what I saw, your Jamal, and this is why I said. So, in other words, so Prophet said, do you know who is not going to be able to see me on the Day of Judgment? And then Prophet said, the person who has, which I'm paraphrasing in my own words, the person who has his parents, that means he has the tawfiq, he has the opportunity to do ihsan, good behavior towards his parents, but he becomes aq from his parents. That means doesn't serve his parents. Prophet says that, so this kind of person is not going to be able to see the face of Rasulullah on the Day of Judgment. Even the face is impossible for him to see. So when you cannot see the face, how can you ask him for the shafa'at and intercession? Isn't it right? So basically, this means that a person is doomed for the hell. Isn't it right? So we find, and a Prophet said, that person who drinks alcohol and dies away from this world without doing the tawbah, he is not going to see the face of Rasulullah on the Day of Judgment. Musafahatu ghayril maharim, shaking hand with non-mahram people. A man shaking hand with a non-mahram woman. A woman shaking hand with a non-mahram man. Let's go to Rasulullah and ask what he has to say about that. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من صافح امرأة حراما, whoever shakes hand with a woman in a haram, So جَاءَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مَغْلُولًا. He will come on the day of judgment, his hand will be tied up. ثُمَّ يُؤْمَرُ بِهِ إِلَى النَّارِ. Then he will be commanded to be taken to the hell. قِلَّةُ الْأَكْلِ. Another value of Islam, eating less. Eating less is a value of Islam because it's related to the ma'naviyat, to the ruhaniyat. When we eat full and we become full, then the babul ma'naviyat is munsad. Our ulama say the door of ma'naviyat is shut on the soul. Nothing of the ma'navi blessings, metaphysical blessings, can enter into the soul any further because he ate full. So Amir Nabi Islam has said, Al-ilmu fil-joo. Knowledge, that means knowledge of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, is in hunger. It's not without a reason about our great personalities used to fast throughout the year. So Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam never slept with their stomachs full. So man qalla ta'muhu sahha badanuhu wa safa qalbuhu. So whoever's food is less, his body will be healthy, sahih, and his heart, his soul will be clean, safa qalbuhu. And وَمَنْ كَسْرَ تَعْمُهُ. And whoever's food will be more, سَقْمَ بَدَنُهُ. His body will be ill, وَقَسَى قَلْبُهُ. And his soul will have qasawat in the soul. And also in Imam Sadiq alayhi salam's hadith, he says, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ إِلَى اللَّهِ إِذَا خَفَّ بَطْنُهُ. The closest a person that can get to Allah when his stomach is khafif, that means it's not full, it's still empty. That's where you get closest. When you eat full, like your own, we said, the door of ma'naviyat is shut. You cannot receive any ma'navi blessing. Ma amana bi. Okay. The next value the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is that La yashba'u al-mu'min duna jarihi. A mu'min never eats full when he finds his neighbor is hungry. This not the sha'an of a mu'min, to eat full. You have food, you have to give some to him as well. You know, you remember the story when Amir Mu'min alayhi salam brings a faqir person along with him to the house. And he asked Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about what does she have in the house. And she said, Ma indana illa qutus sabiya. We don't have except the food of a baby. And only a child can eat that much. Not even sufficient for one adult. Walakinna nu'thiru bihi dhaifana. But we are going to give it to our guest, giving preference to him over ourselves. That's how the Isar of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is. And also we find when Zahra, in another incident, salamullah alayha, she gives away the Salman al-Farisi rahmatullah alayhi wa salamullah alayhi. He brought this faqir miskin person to and knock the door of Hazrat Zahra to get something. He thought that's the best door where I can get. He knocked the door of Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayhi. He himself was faqir, didn't have anything to pay to this poor person. He was hungry. And Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayhi said that Inna lana salasan ma ta'inna. It's 3 days that we did not eat food. Walakin la aruddu al-khair. Is a nazal al khair bi babi. But I'm not going to reject the khair and goodness when it comes to my door. This is khair that a guest is arriving. I'm not going to reject it, in other words. So she gives her cloth to Salman. Salman took it and gave it as rahm to Shamun, the rich guy in Medina, and borrowed some money from Shamun and purchased some dates in lieu of that. And when he was returning back, he thought to himself, well, all these dates belong to Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because she is the one who gave her cloth. So, and she just said that we did not eat since last 3 days, and Hassan and Hussein just slept. They were muzdarib in iftirab, and you know, so much anxious. Obviously, when they were hungry, their kids, they will be anxious, and they just slept. In other words, they slept. So he said to himself, "Let me knock the door and ask her to take some of the dates from that, because all the dates belong to her." And he knocked the door again, and you know, he offered her to take some dates for Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salam, who were kids. Now, I could do 1001 ta'wilat and excuses that I am hungry too, you know, isn't it right? But look at the azamat of Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayha. She says that this is what we have, Hada shay'un ya Salman. She says, Hada shay'un amzaynahu lillah. This is something that we have given it for the sake of Allah, in other words. So we are not going to take it back. So what they have already given for the sake of Allah, he is not going to take that thing back. She remains hungry, her children remains hungry, and she let Salman give the dates to that poor person. Sadaqa. I will just mention a very little thing from that before I end. Sadaqat are something which are basically very important in Islam, and we should keep in our minds, for those people who lose the job, this is one of the most important factors for having the risk and increase in the risk, because Amir Mumin alayhi salam says, "Istanzil al-riska bis-sadaqah." Bring down the risk through sadaqah. The risk will come down when you give. When you give, that's where you get. You have more, you give more. You have less, you give less. A mu'min never stops giving. You know, it depends how much we have, but we always give. You know, if you give sadaqah in the morning, it removes the nahas of the daytime. If you give the sadaqah in the evening, it removes the nahas of the evening time. And من تصدق بصدقة إذا أصبح دفع الله عنه نحس ذلك اليوم. Whoever gives the sadaqah when he enters into the morning, Allah removes the nahs of that day. And also, before I come to the end, we find that this is from Zurara ibn A'yan, from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, that qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, داروا مرضاكم بالصدقة. That means provide cure for your sick people through sadaqah. That means you provide the cure to the sick people. If somebody has, someone is sick, we give the sadaqah, and that's how we get the cure, inshallah, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تصدقوا بالليل فإن الصدقة بالليل تطفي غضب الرب. Give the sadaqah in the night time. So the giving the sadaqah in the night time calms down the ghadab and anger of Allah. So when we have a lot of sins, Allah is angry, obviously. So the way to calm down the anger of Allah is to give the sadaqah. Now, sadaqah in the morning has lots of possibilities people may notice. But in the night time, when people are sleeping, and you go in the darkness of the night and you give the sadaqah like the Ahlul Bayt used to do, and no one else is watching, the recipient doesn't know this is from you. You give it in a way that the recipient doesn't know it is from you. If you give that kind of sadaqah, it will calm down the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, we will continue a little bit more and on that in the next Thursday. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.